We have in Hebrew called Birkas Hamazon. In Yiddish, it's called benching. And in English, it's called grace after meals. So basically, it's a verse in the book of Deuteronomy we read in Parshas Ekev. It says, V'achalta v'savata uverakta. V'achalta, you shall eat. V'savata, you shall be satisfied. Uverakta. And then you are mandated to make a blessing. So interesting, many of the blessings we make comes from the rabbis. We have many rabbinical blessings. In fact, 90% plus are rabbinical blessings. The blessing we make before we eat, before we put on a talis, before we blow shofar, the four species. There are only two biblical blessings. One is Birkas Hamazon benching, and the other one is the bracha we make, not when you go to shul and you get called up to the Torah, that's only rabbinic. But there's in the prayers in the morning, everyone, you make a blessing of before you study Torah, there's a blessing you make. So therefore, every morning, part of the blessings, you say it. So what's interesting to note is the blessing on Torah comes before you learn, and the blessing on food comes after you learn. So if you have 100 different blessings, I understand. Some might be in the middle, some in the beginning, end. But if you only have two blessings, can you get your act together? I'm just looking for consistency, both before, both after. So why is it? There must be a reason then. If there's only two, and one's before and one's after, why is that? So the commentators point out, the Meir Simcha HaKohen, he lived in the 20th century in Europe. I think he might have been killed by the Nazis. He lived in that time period. He was in Davinsk, and he explains as follows. He points out that because when is the danger area? In other words, when you start the theory is once you start studying the Bible, the Talmud, or the prophets, whatever you're going to be studying in Torah, Jewish history, whatever the vast parts of. So once you start reading and studying and incorporating the values into you, you won't have to worry. The trick is to know what the Torah says, to know what Judaism says, and it doesn't always work that way. But the more you know about Judaism, the more you know about anything, the more you incorporate, usually, and then you're able to keep it better. So the danger area is not studying. So therefore, we want you, what's the concern? You're not going to study at all, or you'll study for the wrong reason, you'll study to know more so you can tell everyone how much they don't know, whatever the reason you're studying for ego, you could publish a book, whatever the reasons are. But the danger area is before. Hopefully, once you start studying, so then things will work out. In contrast, when it comes to benching, when it comes to eating, as they say, there's no such thing as an atheist in the foxhole. And then when the bombs are coming down, everyone, what choice to have? If you go to all the different doctors, they can't help you. Okay, I might as well pray to God. What am I going to lose? In other words, God should be the first one, but many times I'm not saying he's not the first, but after you go, and we have to go to doctors anyway. I'm not saying we all, because we have to put in our effort to try to heal with based on the science that we know. So the danger area is after we're full and satisfied. It's instinctive that when you're needy and hungry, you're automatically going to feel like you'll remember, you'll feel more of an appreciation, a gratitude. But even though counterintuitive, but once you already have everything and you become comfortable, the psychology is you come to forget. So for instance, there are four parts to the commandment of benching. So there's four different blessings. So historically, as these things happened, they were added to the benching. So if you lived in the Midbar in the desert, you had a shorter benching, because the first blessing was Moses instituted the blessing for the gratitude of the manna, the food from heaven. the food falling from heaven. So Hazana is like, oh, thank you, God, you sustain everyone, you give us the food from heaven. That's blessing number one. And then when they moved into the land of Israel, when Joshua took the Jewish people into the land of Israel, they added the second part, thank you, God, for giving us the land of Israel. And then the third blessing from King David and his son Shlomo, Solomon. We thank God for giving us the city of Jerusalem, the political capital, and the holy temple and the Beis HaMikdash. That's the third blessing. And the fourth blessing is, number one, it's rabbinical, but the fourth blessing, ironically, is about Haruge Beitar. We spoke about it on Tisha B'Av, about Tisha B'Av. It's one of the things that happened on one of the many terrible tragedies that happened on Tisha B'Av. This is about 65 years after the destruction of the Second Temple. The destruction of the Second Temple was about 70 CE. In other words, in 2070, we're 2021, that will be 2,000 years. So we're about 1950. We're a little under 2,000 years. So 65 years later, after the destruction, obviously it was bad for the Jewish people when you lose the temple, but ironically or interesting, there weren't any religious decrees. It was more like they were afraid the Romans, you're going to rebel, you're going to take over the government. It wasn't a personal thing per se about Judaism and people keeping the commandments. But that changed. Hadrian, in the Haruge Beitar, that was the whole Bar Kokhba. They thought Bar Kokhba was going to be the Messiah, and he was going to bring, according to some historians, they started building, because the Jews were in Jerusalem, and they started building the third temple. The Romans weren't too happy, and basically, it was terrible what happened. Hundreds, thousands of Jews were murdered and slaughtered, and it was so bad when the Talmud describes it, the farmers didn't have to fertilize the land for the next 10 years. There was so much blood on the ground. It was terrible, and not only that, but when you see all the religious decrees in the Talmud, it was during this time period. So ironically, it was even worse than the destruction of the temple from a religious, all these religious laws. So what happened was, so a miracle happened 3 years later, and that was on Tu B'Av, that was 3 years and a week later. So what was one of the things? He knew how important burial is to the Jewish people. He didn't let the Jews bury any of the bodies. You imagine you have 100,000 of people lying on the ground and you can't bury. So what would happen? Usually the bodies would decay, it would smell. But the miracle happened 3 years later when they were given permission. So that's the fourth blessing, HaTov, on the good that the bodies did not decay. VaHaMeitiv, they were able to be buried. So that happened. So that's the fourth blessing. So again, we have four blessings. One is on the Moses did it on the man, on the food from heaven. Then Joshua thanking God for the land of Israel. And then David and Solomon for the Jerusalem and the temple. And the Haruge Beitar. So the commentators explain, benching's all about gratitude. So in fact, interesting, if you have, I think when they put out the slang dictionary, so some people, number one, don't like it, but from an intellectual point of view, at least I like to know when they're saying something like when they're talking about the Jews, I want to know what they mean. So one of the things that came out, that there's an expression, I've never experienced it personally, but a lot of my friends in business have, is an expression they use the Jew as a verb. I'm going to Jew you down, meaning I'm going to, it's usually said with negative connotations. So that's the slang saying. We're just saying the Jews run a good bargain. That's what we mean. We're not anti, the Merchant of Venice, shake that whole thing. But the bottom line is, I know people, and a lot of people, it's part of their vocabulary. Like some apologize, what you just said? Like, you're Italian. How about if I said, I'm the mafia, you down? A lot of people don't even know what they're saying anyway, because a lot of slang words, people say them, they don't even know what they mean. And that's why there was a case where someone said, it was a professional basketball player, he was like playing a video game, and like he said this slang derogative, like he said kike, which is interesting. So what is, you know, kike's referring to Jews, and but you know where it comes from. So I was like learning. So actually, the two schools of thought, like why were Jews known as kike? So either because it comes from, I guess in Yiddish, kike, like why do you say circle in Yiddish? Something like kaiko, something. So it's similar to the Yiddish word which means circle. What is circle? Because when the Jews came over in Ellis Island, a lot of them didn't know how to write. So when they signed their names, they signed a zip, like they just wrote it. I even know someone who lives here now, he told me his father and mother didn't know any English, you know, they live in Canada, but it's the same. So they signed their name with the zero, you know, that was the signature. So one opinion is the guards in Ellis Island were making fun of the Jews. Kike meaning you don't know how to write, you're illiterate. Others say, I think I'd rather that. Other ones say it was the Jews that came from Western Europe, the educated ones, were making fun of the Eastern European Jews. So it's just interesting to know where, not that we should use the words, but it's interesting academically. I like just to know like what it means and where it comes from. So there's a saying to Jew me down, which basically obviously does, it's a connotation whether, you know, the Jews are, you know, are thieves, you know, or they're just, the, you know, they'll say, we just, no, we want to, you know, we want to be like you get a good deal, or, you know, Yiddish a cup, or whatever, you know, however you want to say it. So truth be told, that's not what Jew means. But you know what it should be in the slang dictionary? Because what is the word Yehudi from Yehuda? Like, Yehudi means gratitude. That apam odes Hashem. That we're overcome with, so therefore they should, when someone's feeling gratitude, say, I'm going to Jew you up. And it should mean, like what it really means is, how much gratitude we have for everything that God does. That's what it really means. That's the slang. It's not used in positive, but the real name means that we're overcome with gratitude. No matter what we do, we can never thank you enough, God. And that's what benching is all about. That we said the four blessings. So the first one is obvious. It had nothing to do with us. We were traveling in the desert, food coming from heaven, the cloud of glory, the water, we did zero, so that's the first blessing. We have to have gratitude when we're not involved at all. You know, it's all from God, and that's easier. In a certain way, that's easier to have gratitude. Well, thank you, God, because I couldn't do anything. Like you're stuck in the foxhole, in the bomb, what else? Thank you, God, you didn't give us food in the desert. There was no Fortinos or Shoah Village to eat at. And then the second one is, you thank God that he gave us the land of Israel. But the land of Israel, we worked very hard. Obviously, we always need God. But for seven years, we fought the wars. I'm talking about one time in Joshua. Another 7 years, we divided it. A lot of people got killed, you know, like any war. So you would think, you know what? So maybe you only have to have gratitude to God when he does everything. But if I did all this work, it's me. So that's the concern. No delicha. No, even when you're involved, don't worry. You still, and it's great you're involved and you should be involved, but don't forget God. Without God, you wouldn't win the wars either. That's the whole, you know, in 48, 67, and especially 67, great miracles. And of course there were. Do we have one of the best militaries? We sure do. But that's part of the danger. If you think, well, it's the military and who needs God, you know, I mean, if you're a secular person, that's not a problem. If you're a religious person, then it's problematic. And therefore, that's what happened a little bit in 73. It wasn't total war, but it didn't go as well as we liked it. So the first blessing, we show gratitude even when we did nothing. It's all God, it's all the man. And the second thing, the blessings on the land of Israel. We worked very hard. We gave up lives for it. And even when you're 100% in, you still need God to be successful. Thank you, God, for keeping us successful in fighting the wars and doing the planting. You needed the right weather, etc. And the third one is, even though he gave us Jerusalem and the temple, but as we know, as we the blessing we make today, we ask God Rachim Nach to give it. We don't have it now. So therefore, even time, even when things aren't so good, we want God. We do right now. We do have some of the city of Jerusalem, but it's the whole fight going on now. East Jerusalem, West Jerusalem, but in Judaism, that is Jerusalem is ours, and therefore, and also the temple where the Temple Mount is. That's where the Muslims have it now. Well, we gave it to them. Well, we, meaning Moshe Dayan and the Israelis in 67, we could debate whether it was a good move or not, but it's irrelevant now. The point being is we don't have it, and therefore we have to thank God, even during times aren't so great. We wish we'd have peace in Israel, peace in the world. It could be worse. You know, thank God it's only an 11-day war, you know, when we have the Scuds, not an 11-month war, so... Even when things are down, you always still have to be able to find the positive. And that's why the rabbis added the fourth blessing on Haruge Beitar. Like that was devastation. You know, I wouldn't say in numbers it wasn't the Holocaust, but at that time it was like hundreds of thousands were killed, or you couldn't keep your religion, they wouldn't let you bury you, all specific rules against the Jewish people. And we incorporate it into our benching that even during terrible times, obviously, no, we don't have prophets, we don't understand why things happen, we never will until the Messiah comes. Today we don't have prophets, we can't connect one event to another. We could take principles and try to figure them out, but we can never know anything for certain. So even when things are so bleak, like a Tisha B'Av, but the fourth blessing, even during how we have to be eternal optimists, that one day, even though it's terrible now, and who could imagine things ever getting better? You had to go to a new country and start all over again, but the eternal optimism. In fact, it's an interesting story. They say when the expulsion of Spain was in 1492, and the Abarbanel, who was one of the medieval commentators, he was the king's advisor, Isabel and Ferdinand, he worked in the government. In fact, they even made a deal with him. You could stay. All the other Jews were throwing out, but we want you to stay with us. He says, I'm leaving with my people. I can't stay with you. And one of the days they left, or what could have this been on one day, was Tisha B'Av. So they say, the Abarbanel said, you know what? It was during Tisha B'Av, so we have a custom during the 9 days not to play like music. He had them playing all the people on their way out. He said, take out your musical instruments as they're walking out of Spain on Tisha B'Av. And why? Because the people were so downtrodden and down. This is a case where psychologically people, so you need to try to build them up. And even on Tisha B'Av, he told them to go ahead and even though now it's terrible, we're getting thrown out of Spain, we're getting thrown expulsion, but hopefully things will get better in a little while or a longer while. So that's the whole essence of benching, the only one of the few biblical blessings. It's the whole idea of gratitude. And we said, and that's the whole concept of Yehudi. That's what it doesn't mean to Jew you down, like they write in the slang language, but it means, Jew means gratitude, Yehuda. Yehudi, from the word hodah, admittance, that God, I can't do anything without you. Whether it's the case of the man where we know it's all God, it's food falling from heaven, or whether it's the land of Israel, when we worked, we gave up our blood and everything for it, and we still thank you. And then, for the temple, and for the city of Jerusalem, even we don't have it, we're hoping one day it will be, We have it, but not in its full glory. We don't have the temple back up. And even during the bleak time of Beitar, and even as we just went through more recently, the Holocaust, as awful as it was, and it was terrible, but it's amazing how people who lived through it came back, and how many were so successful, and they started new lives. And that only takes, you have to have great resilience, and you have to believe in something in order to be able to come back from such a devastation, going to another land, as whether they're right or not, kike, they couldn't write, some of these Jews became millionaires, but they couldn't even write their own name. Like, because, you know, is you go, you work hard, you have a work ethic, you have your Jewish values, and then even, and at one point, even in America, it was terrible. Basically, if you didn't come in on Shabbos, don't come back on Monday. Like, you know, that's the way it was for a long time. Until, you know, I guess, I'm not sure when the year was, they changed. Officially, you can't have religious persecution. You know, unofficially, they know if they just won't hire you. Or they'll tell you it's a different reason why we don't want it. But at least it's on the books that everyone has religious freedom. But even in America, you know, Canada, these places where now are one of the most free and safest places, but we know it wasn't, you know, one's too many. Canada didn't even want to let any Jews, you know, every country, you know, has some form, you know, some much worse than others, and that's the definition of a Jew, is we have to be full with gratitude, as we say. The Talmud tells us one who says Ashrei every day is going to warrant reward in the world to come. But it says in another place in the Talmud, one who says Hallel every day, that's the song we say on the Yom Tov. If you say Hallel every day, you're like a Magade, if you're like a blasphemer, like you're cursing God. The question is, like, I don't get, both of those prayers come from the book of Tehillim, and it's from King David. So what do you telling me if I say one part of the book I'm the greatest, another part of the book I'm terrible? What does it mean? So again, the Meir Simcha Cohen explains, no, because when does one say Hallel? After a miracle happened, after some great event, the Exodus from Egypt, we got the Torah, Mount Sinai, the Sukkot, the miracle. So after a miracle happens, we sing Hallel, which is a good act. The problem is, if the only time you see God is when a miracle happens, like you're as good as your last at bat, that's terrible. We have to see God all the time, not just during good times, and that's what the Ashrei signifies. If you look in the Siddur, next time you say Ashrei, it's in the form of Aleph, Beis, Gimel. It's the everyday things. Is someone only sees God, if someone has the attitude, God, I'm waiting for my next miracle, it's not going to work out well. But one who sees God, thank God. I woke up this morning. I have two eyes, I have two legs, I could walk, I could see. You know, maybe not as good as I could 50 years ago, but at least I have life, and there's still a lot of things to enjoy in my life. So therefore, that's what the definition of a Jew is. A Yehudi is to be filled with gratitude, and that's what the biblical benching teaches us, that we're during good times, bad times, okay times, or terrible times, we always have to be the eternal optimist, and we always have to have gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to God. Any questions?